Okay, you guys gonna stand up the whole time, or you want to sit down, or what do you want to do? We're recording.
Whatever.
We're recording.
That's how you decided to start the podcast?
This is how I visit my mom, by standing. I stand the whole time.
Casual, right?
By having a visual.
Leave it a drop of a hat.
So this is it's going to be a late to the party with Travis Tate unplugged episode where we sit down with comedians. I'm here with good friends of mine. We got Rodney Norman and also Kylie Cook. These are both guys that were doing stand-up when I first started.
Were we supposed to say something there to make it weird? Or
go ahead.
Was it weirder that we waited till he said, introduce both of us?
Now no one's going to know whose voice is whose.
Okay, let's start over. Rodney Norman, this is where you talk.
Oh, that's what that means?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Rodney Norman.
I'm here. This is me.
And
this is my voice.
And this is Kylie Cook.
I'm also here. This is my... good day. Thanks for having me, Travis. Is that what we say?
I think your voice is a little bit deeper than normal.
You have the greatest voice. One of the greatest voices of all time.
Of all time?
I've always been jealous of your voice.
It's quite flattering. Thanks. I just waste it.
I asked Kylie, do you want to come on the podcast? He's like, let me go smoke two packs of cigarettes, and then we'll do it. He doesn't even smoke. He just needs the
gargle with some gravel.
Gravel.
Just to get the right tone.
It's not Barry White enough. Give me another pack.
It feels a little flat, I'll be honest. It feels a little flat right now. Flat. Man.
Head cracking.
I can't wait till I'm old enough to rent movies. It's horrible.
Well, we're sitting here in the green room of Ogden, Utah, Wise Guys.
Yep.
It's one of the best clubs in the country. We just proved that. Right?
Yes, we did. Rodney, because we're average comedians and we did well.
Yeah. The crowd provides the energy. It's the room. It's the ghost that
always have good crowds here.
Walls. Usually, yeah, almost always.
The ghost with the red flannel shirt?
I've heard about the ghost. That's why I'm wearing red flannel right now.
Was that down in the basement?
You are the ghost. That's why you're here. Yeah.
The basement here is kind of spooky.
You've heard stories, haven't you?
I look down. There's a little cave that goes way far back. And I looked down there and I was like,
the old prohibition tunnel that they filled in?
Yeah. It spooked me out.
What's it, Marcus bring his ghost hunter thing here?
Yeah, I think so.
Time. It's been
of course he did. We all saw that episode. That was a great episode, right?
That was a great episode.
I've watched that one at least 13 times because that's the lucky number if you're looking for ghosts. So we're just kind of here hanging out, and we thought we'd talk about some gigs that didn't go.
Because today
you guys did tonight. One today, right?
We had one of those spectacular experiences of comedy.
We'll set it up here. Rodney and I did this gig at the Gateway today, and it was during a food truck festival. So there's all these food trucks lined up all through the road, and lines even longer of people waiting to get food from the food truck, like 45-minute waits in some cases.
Yikes.
And they had a DJ blasting some Earth, Wind, and Fire right before I went on stage. Yep. People were dancing, and then they said, okay, we're going to stop that now. Here's some comedy. And then I went up and
forgot the best part.
Oh, what
the
was that?
The cornhole game going on right in front of the stage.
Right in front of us. There was a cornhole
game. That's hilarious.
Two cornhole games, actually.
So let me back up. So they have a DJ playing music, right?
Yep.
Everyone's waiting for their chicken and a pita or whatever, they do. And then all of a sudden, randomly, they're, hey, we're going to have a comedy show.
Yep.
It was like that.
Everybody pay attention.
And the only people directly in front of us were playing cornhole. Everyone else... is like 30, anywhere from
40 feet away
at least. Yeah,
so disconnected from anyone.
Yes, and also waiting for food and mad about that. And they mad didn't. That they're gonna get up there and pay $15 a person.
Oh,
for that
sucks. Those gigs suck, dude, where no one's listening. It's like one person's idea that, hey, this will be a good idea,
this will be so fun, we'll get some wacky comics up there, tell some jokes.
Yeah,
people love it while they're standing in line for an hour and a half for a cherry-flavored corn dog.
Rodney took some pictures of me on stage, and my goal was to find at least one person in every picture that was actually looking at me. And I think there was one picture where I couldn't find anybody. So
I saw the pictures on the Facebooks, and it looked like you were accosting people. It looks like it looks like their backs were turned to you. They're like,
at one point, I yelled at the guys, like, hey, throw me all those bags. So I started playing cornhole from the stage.
Nice.
And I almost got one in.
Yeah, he actually
that
was
very exciting.
Fairly decent.
Yeah. I almost got one.
Not bad.
I even offered, if you guys get one in, I'll give you $5. And they were pretty excited, but they failed. Of course they failed.
Of course.
Jeez. They can't multitask like we can.
They can't laugh, and they can't play cornhole.
That's probably why they were mad. They didn't get their $5.
So when you get these sort of gigs, Because I tend to get them a lot. I get horrible bar gigs where everybody's talking.
Right.
Those are brutal.
Yeah. So what's your strategy for dealing with them? Do you have one?
I just try to barrel through generally and just do my material. And today I there was so much going on. I wasn't as focused as I normally am in a situation like that. There was so many people just walking around, walking right in front. I think there was anybody on the stage. I thought somebody walked across the stage at some point.
Well, there were people actually that came up and sat on the side of the stage.
Yeah, there was little kids sitting right in front of me, and I thought about just doing crowd work with them, but you know,
that's so weird. That's
never work with kids, right? Showbiz, right?
Or pets, right? I don't know.
There was pets walking around too. There was so much going on. There was live music going somewhere else, and it was just.
The fountain going with water.
Really? Holy smokes.
My ADD.
That's worse than those gigs where they don't turn off the TVs or the pool table or shut down the pool tables while you're trying to go.
Yes. Yeah, it was very much like that. Only outside.
Yeah, in the sunlight.
Outside's even worse. Yeah.
Yeah, I started the gig. I was like, I had some conditions on doing this. I wanted it to be during the day. I wanted it to be hot. Yeah.
I want people preoccupied.
I wanted people standing in lines that they're annoyed about. And if you're not standing in a line, you're hunched over trying not to get juice on your clothes from the stuff you just got from standing in line for 45 minutes.
I love to open, especially when I'm in these horrible gigs. Like I said, it's mostly what I do.
It's your repertoire.
I get up there and go, so you know, most comics want to perform in comedy clubs and theaters where everybody's facing the stage.
Oh, that's too easy, right?
They're there to do comedy. So anyone can make those people laugh. I want a challenge. Put me in a room where they didn't even know comedy would happen.
That's the rough. Those
put
are the rough
ones. Put me in front of a pool table. Turn on TVs. Leave them on during my set. Allow people to just randomly go and put something in the jukebox and have it play during the show. I want a challenge.
When I'm doing a gig like that, I'm thinking the whole time, this is going to be a great story. And I can't wait to tell it. Because when you're talking to other comics that you're just meeting, that's a great way to get them on your side, is just start telling times that you bombed.
You bombed after they see you do well on stage. Right. You're like, oh, listen to this one time.
It's instant bonding. So, like I did, you talked about, just before we started, about doing a gig with some people at church.
Elders Quorum. Elders Quorum, right? Yeah. It was in Elders Quorum. I had a barbecue. All their spouses were there. Yeah. So on the way there, it was funny. I took my boy. He was 12 at the time. This was just last summer. And he was telling me, well, you can't tell you this joke or that joke. I'm like, I know. He goes, you can't tell your Michael J. Fox joke. I got my 12-year-old telling me what jokes I can't tell at a squeaky clean church barbecue event. But I was going to say, there's a few times during the set. Not that I'm not dirty. You guys see me on stage, right? But there's some things you can't really say to.
Yeah, it's getting people to understand that they're like, there's clean.
Yeah.
Like, this is funny to me. When I'm back east, almost every joke I do is considered clean, and yet when I come to Utah, I change a lot of those jokes or just skip them entirely, because in Utah they're not clean, especially when it's so Utah clean. Especially Utah County clean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a whole other level.
Especially if they know that you're,
of all
you're in the tribe.
Yeah.
If they know that you're a man, then they hold you to a standard that, you know, you're up there with the general authority, and that everything you say is gospel doctrine, so it has to be perfect.
Yeah.
I feel like you should be reading the jokes they put in the Children's Friend.
Just real simple. Real plain, vanilla, simple. Yeah.
I did a thing. My uncle actually was a bishop for a singles ward. And him and my aunt asked if I would come down and do like 30 minutes for them. And that was their entertainment for the week. So I did it, and my stuff is really clean, and I wasn't worried about the content, but I didn't do the math in this capacity. I'm standing there doing jokes about having kids and being married to, like, the dollar bin Mormons sitting there that are in their 30s and haven't found anybody. I was basically like throwing darts at their face. It was insulting to them at one point. And I started getting frustrated. I was like, dude, don't look at me like that. I heard you in the hallway trying to impress a girl by saying you know everything there is to know about Phineas and Ferb. So don't judge what I'm up here saying.
Whoa, cocky.
Ooh, look at you. Laying it down.
That's funny. Those type of kids those kids can be rough. Like that one I was telling you about with my boy there. We were just in this backyard of this, you know, it's a fairly large home, but I kept looking at my son like he was going to somehow help me remember what to say or what to say next. Or, in fact, I started one. I got into halfway into the story, and then I realized I couldn't tell the punchline, probably a little too controversial for that group, right? So I'm halfway into the story, and then I'm like, oh, crap, I can't finish this. So then I just said, and then we all had a really nice day. Everyone just stared at me, and my boy, he was shaking his head. It was hilarious.
That's funny.
I did what we were talking about, a guy, Buddy Bear Bradley. He was an older comedian, and he was like in his 80s.
Older. I think he was the oldest.
He was. He was the oldest that we know of. And he passed away earlier this year. But
he was a good guy, though.
Yeah.
Funny guy. Nice guy.
He would do these things where he had like a little karaoke machine, and he would go to like old folks' homes, and he would go do stand-up for them. And he thought it was kind of fun, but also like trying to be inspirational. So I did a few with him, and there was one where it was this huge place, like million-dollar place. And you walk in, and there's hundreds of people eating dinner. And then you see the back wall, and it's just a line of walkers. Like, they had valet walker parking.
Like when you go to Disneyland, there's a parking area for strollers in Adventureland.
It's exactly what, except everything had tennis balls at the bottom of
it. Nice.
So we're doing the gig, and it's kind of in the round. It's just couches. We've got the little karaoke machine sitting on a chair in between all these couches. And he's like, brutal. Do you want to headline it? I was like, nah, I think I'll go first, and I'll set it up for you. So I'm doing my stuff, and half of them are going, turn it up, we can't hear you. And so I turn it up, and then they go, turn it down, it's too loud. So I get through my stuff, and like I'm doing...
I couldn't imagine them adjusting their hearing aids and you adjusting that thing back and forth the whole time.
It was like a seesaw of sound. And at one point I did a joke about the Flintstones. I was like, you guys have to know the Flintstones, right? like actually know them. You probably went to school with them. But
nice.
That didn't go very well. So I bring up a Buddy, and when he would do shows with us at a club or something or open mic or whatever, you know, he'd talk about being in World War II. I served in World War II. And people would go bananas. Just round of applause. Sometimes people would stand up, going nuts. He did that there, and the people were super unimpressed. The guy goes, yeah, all of us did. Even some of the women.
He's got nothing. Yeah. You got nothing after that.
It was one of the best gigs I've ever done, I think.
That's funny.
That's pretty funny. Speaking of, you thought that was one of the best gigs. It's funny because you always know when you're eating it, when it's a horrible gig, when the only people you can hear laughing is the other comic.
Oh, yeah.
Or the other comics that are with you.
That was us today, I think.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I did stand up at my high school reunion.
At your own?
At my own high school reunion, my 20th. And the guy that set it all up, afterward, he's like, well, it's a... And it went pretty well, actually, considering a lot of them have actually seen me before. I just did material. It was fun.
Nice.
And we had a small class, like 95 people in my graduating class, small school. So everybody gets along and knows each other. So it was well. But afterward, he's like, all right, well, it's time to talk about money. And I was like, oh, dude, you don't have to pay me. I was just going to do this just because, you know, I love everybody here. He goes, oh, no, you owe $30 for your share of the food. And I was like,
Shut up, really? They made you pay for your food?
Yep.
And you were the entertainment?
Man. Yep.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I did. I did my 30th high school reunion this last year.
Wow.
It actually went really well. I get along. I only went to that school for 2 years. So I didn't know them all that well. They didn't know me that well. So we were still... You know what I mean? It actually went pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
that would probably be better, I think, for doing it from a comics point of view, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So there was still some ambiguity as to how if they actually even knew me.
Yeah.
So it was good, but it was. I mean, it was fun. It was weird, but yeah, when it came to the money, there was a gal from our graduate class who just found out she had cancer.
Oh.
And was fighting it, and they were raising money for it. So I just gave my money.
Oh, that was nice of you.
That's good.
It was fun.
Those high school reunions, I've done a bunch of them. I think I did one. I was going to say the worst one is, you know, every reunion they honor their fallen classmates.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And one time I did this, they're like, hey, we rearranged the program a little bit. And I'm like, what? And then they honored the fallen classmates, and then they brought me up thinking that a little comedy right afterwards, No, I'm up on stage. I'm like, what's the deal with airline food? And people are crying and wiping tears from their cheeks. It was
dying up here.
Well, it was funny because Keith Stubbs has a story where he didn't know that that's what they were doing because he kind of got.
The pictures were up, right?
Yeah, the pictures were up. He didn't know what they were. He just thought it was like just people from random people from the class.
Yeah.
So he gets up there and starts doing his set, and he's going well, and then he starts making fun of the people.
Yeah,
and that's I love this story. Oh, these are the people that died. And like before he went up there, they had had their tribute, and he missed it. He didn't know that that's what.
So
it
he
happened.
Missed. Yeah, I couldn't remember how he missed that part.
And he finally took him a few minutes. He got it back, but he says, "Boy, it just went nothing."
That's hilarious.
So he tells me that story, and like literally that week, I'm doing a high school reunion in Richfield, and we get down there and. I forgot who came with me, but we were laughing about his story. And then we get there, and they did that. They came up and says, "Well, we're going to have you go at the end because we want you to really liven up the mood because we're going to have our tribute to all the ones who've passed on." I was like, "No, please don't do this. Please don't. Well, it's all set up and we can't." I'm like, "Is there any way? Could we have like a break?
You need a buffer, some buffer time.
Like serve dessert or some anything. Right. And she goes, "Well, we were going to wait for dessert afterwards." No, give them dessert. Let them eat dessert.
Good call. Good call.
And so we did it, and it helped because I was just like, it was one sad story because they were like, "Everybody remembers so and so and had classes with him." They all stood up and. And who has some fond memories? And then they would talk about him. He was killed in a car accident. And he has four kids.
You can't come up after that.
And then they had this video thing, and it was like, Seasons in the Sun. Quite possibly the saddest pop
pulling at the heartstrings
ever.
They're playing it slow.
And I was just like, I'm so glad I had Keith's experience to a bit.
When I did mine, I didn't know that story yet, and I was more concerned. I didn't want to be performing while they were eating, because I did a gig once, a corporate event, and they wanted me to perform while they were eating. So instead of laughter, I heard the clanks of silverware against plates because everyone's eating.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah. So then I did. That's all I was thinking about at the reunion, and then they're like, "Hey, we switched it up."
What I did was I picked one person out who was in line to get dessert. And I watched that person, and as soon as they got their dessert, sat down, and as soon as they were finished with it, I knew that the vast majority of the audience was done with their dessert.
Oh, nice.
And that's when I said, "Okay, let's start."
Nice.
But it was all from thinking. Listening to Keith Stubbs' horror story.
That's funny.
I'm not doing this.
So this has been a lot of like private gigs. Can we talk about an infamous gig? Can we talk Pepper Tree Inn? In Idaho Falls?
Oh,
Pepper Tree Inn stories?
Troy's horrible.
Yes.
I got one, but I don't think I can share it with on here.
I can put an explicit thing on it if I have to.
What I said on stage. No, I don't feel comfortable.
Okay.
But I said it on stage, and I still feel guilty. I'll tell you. Why do we even bring it up? Let's go back to real quick about Rodney wanting a buffer before he went on stage.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I did it a week with Keith at Looney's in Colorado Springs. And so we had... Blake Bard was the host, and then I was the middle guy, and then Keith. And we went there one night, and they're like, "Hey, I can't even remember this dude's name." They're like, "He's a local guy. He's been on the Tonight Show. He's here. Is it cool if he does a set before you?" I'm like, "Sure. I don't, just a guest set." I'm like, "I don't care." But he had cerebral palsy, and
was it Josh Blue?
No, I know Josh Blue. I'll probably think of it before we're done, but. But originally he was just in crutches when he was on the Tonight Show and doing comedy, but it progressed, so now he couldn't walk.
Oh.
And he was in a wheelchair, and then he got but we didn't know that till showtime, and then me and Keith were in the back, and the show starts, and then they bring him up, and people wheeled him to the front, and then he got on his crutches and made it to the middle of the stage, but then he started talking, and it was inaudible. You couldn't understand. What he was really saying, and then he would pause, and people would applaud. So they weren't even laughing; they were just applauding, right?
Yeah.
Just at the pauses, and when he was talking, I'm like, "Oh no,
this is it."
Yeah. And I'm turning to Keith. I'm like, "I gotta follow this." And Keith laughed. Keith covers his face like he does when he laughs. And the host, Blake, I'm like, will you do like 5 minutes before you bring me up? The same exact thing. I need a buffer. I can't follow the crippled guy that they're just giving the pity applause.
Go up there and read a recipe.
Anything. And he goes, yeah, no problem. You bet. You got it.
I'll do it.
And so Blake gets up there, and they're helping the guy off in his wheelchair. William Fontaine? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Anyway, they're helping him back in his wheelchair just off stage. So on the side of the stage, and then Blake gets up there, goes, all right, you ready for the next comedian? And I'm in the back going, oh, what? And he just brought me right up. Didn't do any filler, didn't even give me a decent intro, just says my name.
Your name.
And so I had to go around the guy to get on stage. And it was dead quiet, and I'm trying to, hey, everybody, waka waka, right? Trying to open. And you could hear the wheelchair clinking against chairs as they're wheeling him out of the showroom. It was brutal. I'm trying to crack a joke, and you can hear, and people were just watching him and looking at me, and then you could hear Keith and Blake chuckle in the back, like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
You could tell you're doing bad, and the other comics are the ones laughing. And maybe I had to do a half an hour in front of these people after that.
Wow.
Yeah, and I maybe 5-10 minutes into it, I got frustrated and I snapped. Like I'm sure all of us have done it at one point.
Yeah.
Then you feel dumb afterwards, but I'm like, oh, I'm not funny because I can stand up and you can understand me. I was just so frustrated. And I heard the host burst out laughing, and the door opens, and he went in the lobby, and then just dead silence.
Oh,
I had to do another 20 minutes in front of these people that absolutely hated me.
That is awesome.
That was horrible.
Do you have a Pepper Tree Inn story?
I
feel like we got to mention Pepper Tree Inn.
It was funny because the first time I did it, I was the opener. And if you're the opener, it's great. Because the people who were there are just there for the show.
Mm-hmm.
But when you headline halfway through your sets, when everybody starts coming in for the dancing, and that's when it gets noisy and crazy, nobody listens, and people wander in front of you and everything. So the first time I did it, it was great. And I was like, I don't know what everybody's problem is. But then the headliner gets up there, and within 10 minutes, the place is just madhouse.
Yeah, because everyone's coming there to hook up and for the dancing
later.
And
they're so loud that they drowned out the sound system.
And by the way, you can still smoke there. It's legal to smoke there indoors in Idaho.
And people wouldn't even think, like they would just walk in front of you, completely oblivious to the fact that anything was going
on. That's such a horrible kick.
Yeah. So the second time I did it, I'm headlining, and I knew this was happening. And 10 minutes in, the doors flood open, and all these people start showing up for dancing later. And so I just started roasting all the people that were walking.
Oh, nice.
And they were completely oblivious to anything that was going on, which made it even funnier for me and the 14 people that were
there for the show.
People.
The first time I did it, I went with Todd Johnson, and he usually brings a crowd for that kind of gig. And I was featuring, so I did the 30 minutes, and they hadn't done it for months. Like, I guess there was like a fight or something. They stopped doing stand up, and this was the first time they decided to do it again
for three
or 4 months. So there was actually a crowd there, and I was like, hey, this is actually pretty good. Why is everybody complaining? Kind of like you. I was like, this is easy. So it went well. We started on time. Todd got off in timely enough matter that he didn't really have to deal with the people coming to
the noisiness,
line the dance, and everything, which we stayed for a little while just to watch. It's pretty sad. But the next time I went with Josh Fonacalafi, who's a comic here, and
both of those guys helped me move at different times.
Really?
Yeah.
They're good ones to have.
Yeah, great upper body strength, both of them, Todd and Josh.
So Josh and I, we co-headlined, and we get there, and there's two people there. And we got there like 10 minutes early.
No.
And because we found out like day of that we were going to be doing it. It was somebody canceled or whatever.
Oh, so, I remember this.
So Tribble calls us.
Yeah.
And so we're flying up there.
Well, you got to leave right now.
I was in Pocatello that same night.
Really?
Yeah, because Tribble
was... call you too?
Tribble got me to do that, and then he was asking for other names, and I suggested both of you for that gig.
Thanks, Kylie.
Well, there you go.
That's and nice. It was funny because I apologized to Josh later. He was texting me. He told me about there's only two people, so I remember your night.
So yeah, there was two people, and they're like, we kind of want to wait and see if more people show up. I'm like, all right, whatever, it's your deal.
They never
so
show up.
So 15 minutes goes by, 30 minutes goes by, 45 minutes, an hour. finally, I'm like, are we ever going to start this thing? An hour. It's still the same two people. They're like, yeah, you're probably right. I don't think anybody else is coming. Let me pull out the stage. They have a giant stage there at all times, but then they have this little tiny, like, three pallets nailed together that they call a stage that they had to climb underneath the giant stage.
Why even bother?
Pull out. Exactly. We should have just stood on the floor. So they pull that out, and then we do stand up, and we flipped a coin right before we started to see who went first, and I won. So nice. I got to go first. We were supposed to do 45 apiece. Luckily, I wrote out like over an hour because it went fast. It started going. I was like 5 minutes in, and I had already done a third of my material.
Isn't that funny when there's not a lot of laughter, how quick you can go through your material?
I was like, I need to slow down and talk like this and then comment after every joke to make that some time back up. So I got my 45. As soon as my 45 hit, I'm like, I'm tagging in Josh. And then he went up, and it was still the same two people. Luckily, the people working the bar were like laughing and being cool for us. But man, I think they closed it down shortly after that again.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember that night because Pocatello is what, an hour. Well, they're in different directions, but it takes an hour longer to get to Pocatello, right? Yeah. Then I don't follow something like that. But I remember I was almost home before and Josh texted me when you guys just got done with your show.
Yep.
I'm like, what? Why are you still there?
Yeah. And they're like, so are you guys going to stay at the hotel tonight? We're like, no.
Yeah.
I don't feel like getting bed bugs tonight. I stayed there one time, and that's because when I went with Todd, and that's because the snow was so bad. I mean, it was horrible getting up there. So I, like, put all of my clothes on top of the dresser, and I wouldn't let anything touch the
bed.
Yeah. So I, like, slept naked in the bed and then went immediately to the shower in the morning and, like, scrubbed everything and then put my clothes on. This is a place, guys, where when you're sitting on the toilet, you look in front of you at the little vanity, and there's like a bottle opener on the vanity.
Oh, yeah. So from yesteryear.
I think they still have metal keys for those rooms,
too. Yeah, they did, for sure.
So I don't know if a lot of your listeners know, when you're a comic and you're performing in a different city, you're up to the mercy of the club, the venue, of what hotel they're booking.
The cheapest thing.
Yeah, exactly.
This is attached.
So if you stay in La Quinta at some point, you're like, oh, the lap of luxury. Yeah, but then,
sweet.
Yeah. And then next week, you're staying somewhere where the door doesn't close all the way and the faucet comes off.
Yeah.
I stayed at the Super 8, but the Motel 8 in Rock Springs one time because the snow was bad. And I was on the bottom level, and it's all these people that work in the oil fields that stay in that hotel.
Did you have to hear their diesel trucks and everything running?
Yeah, they get up at like 2 in the morning and start their diesel trucks so they're warmed up and ready to go when they have to go to work. So all of the fumes are coming into my hotel room. I'm like wetting towels and trying to put them down by the door. Yeah. I ended up sleeping in the bathtub, and I put towels around that door.
That's bad.
And that's where I slept.
I stayed there once, too. Out. I know exactly. Yeah, I remember just smelling the exhaust.
It was so bad.
Because the door opens right out to the outside.
Yep.
Right out.
Yeah.
Hotel, motel.
And they all back in.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
For sure. So it's blowing right in.
Come straight into your room. Yeah.
You know, I stayed in a place once where there's a bunch of workers like that, right? Mm-hmm. And I noticed there was two sets of boots outside the door. And first thing I thought of was the Holland kids at Christmas time. Kids at Christmas in Holland, right? So I went to the gas station and the Dollar Tree and bought toys. And I bought a can of beer and Big League Chew and toy alligators. And I came back and put them in the boots.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's funny.
They probably, every night they still put them out there just in case.
I wish I could have saw a reaction just so I had some closure. But
set up a digital camera somewhere to record it.
I took a picture, but it's all.
Well, guys, this was fun. Do you want to promote anything?
I'll be catching up on yard work this week.
All right.
I got some grubs to kill.
Some grubs and moles.
Hey, thanks for having me do this.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Kylie. I appreciate it. Rodney?
This was a lot of fun.
It's good to see Rodney. I love hanging out with Rodney. He reminds me of when I first started doing comedy. So every time hanging out with Rodney, it still takes me back.
We talked earlier.
West Valley.
Rodney hosted the first time. Kylie did open mic.
Yeah.
And Kylie hosted the first time I did open mic. So
we're all paying it forward.
Yeah. Hey, look at that.
I haven't, apparently. Nobody.
I'm your comedy grandpa.
Yeah.
There you go.
It could be worse. It could be worse. It could be some sort of Eskimo cousin or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they rub noses?
I think they rub more than noses. Eskimo brothers
from the country.
Yeah. All right, guys.
It's like a weird turn at the very end.
That's how it's supposed to end. It's supposed to get really weird. All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Rodney and Kylie. This was fun.
Yeah, thanks, Travis.
Talking about hell gigs is always fun. All right. We're out.